Hi there. Welcome to the From Lab to Launch podcast by Qualio, where we share inspiring stories from the people on the front lines of life sciences. Tune in and leave inspired to bring your life-saving products to the world.
Hi, I'm Kelly from Qualio and your host here at From Lab to Launch. Thanks for joining the show today. We've published well over 50 interviews at this point with innovators in life sciences across the world. It's been so inspiring to hear the stories of perseverance and innovation to improve human health and save lives. If you've enjoyed our conversations, please consider subscribing and giving us a review on Apple or Spotify. And if you want to be on From Lab to Launch, please see the application linked in the show notes. Today, we are chatting with Navid Alipour. Navid is the founder and CEO of AI Med Global. Navid believes that with consistent advancements in the healthcare industry, the best care is even more accessible than ever before. When treating cancer, oncologists are attempting to match the best course of treatment to the individual. Every cancer is as unique as the patient. His company, AI Med Global, is making curated medicine accessible to cancer patients all over the world. By utilizing genetic information in a cleverly programmed AI, the technology behind CureMetrics and CureMatch are saving lives and improving healthcare. I'm thrilled to chat with Navid today and learn more about him as well as AI Med Global. I'm curious to learn more about the portfolio companies, CureMetrics and CureMatch, and what they are accomplishing in the industry. Let's bring him in. Thank you for joining us today, Navid.
Kelly, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. Share a little bit about your background and the journey that you took to be where you are today.
Sure. Happy to. So I like to joke that, you know, my wife and I are the black sheep of the family in that we're not doctors. My father's a cardiologist. Both my brothers are doctors. Her dad, her stepdad, her sister, her and I went to, you know, the dark side of law and business, as they say. However, healthcare has been in my, you know, blood for, you know, forever. And I have the utmost respect for those in the medical field that are dealing with patients on a day-to-day to help, you know, prolong and save their lives with whatever disease or ailment they're dealing with. With that, we had started CureMetrics and CureMatch, which I'll get into, CureMetrics being on our women's health suite of products to detect breast cancer and heart disease from the same mammogram, so no one else does. And then CureMatch, we ended up serendipitously starting. I'd like to say it was all masterfully planned, but it wasn't. My business partner got cancer. They essentially said, you have 4 years to live, but come back next week for chemotherapy. He didn't like the sound of that. And luckily here in our backyard, we met an amazing lady by the name of Dr. Rizal Kurzrock. She's truly one of the top oncologists in the world. And I'm happy to say my partner is cancer-free and because of combination therapies. And that's where we said, Dr. Kurzrock, this technology belongs to the world, not just for VIP patients that have access to you. Have you thought of starting the company? So that was the genesis of then starting CureMatch, and we formed AI Med Global kind of as the umbrella parent entity to drive these two businesses in the interest of, again, if you want to prolong life and save lives, you got to detect, treat, and monitor better. So we detect breast cancer and heart disease on our women's health suite for CureMetrics, and CureMatch is for, it's pan-cancer, as they say, for any man, woman, or child that has, unfortunately, cancer.
Oh, wow. That's an amazing story. And I always love to hear such a personal drive to, you know, to try to change the world and use those technologies for better. So you talked a little bit kind of about how AI, you know, is the umbrella organ. So that's, again, just really founded in your belief about curated medicine being the norm. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, the long and short of it, and I like my analogy, so forgive me, but you know, cancer is it's like a fingerprint, right? No two fingerprints are the same, or like snowflakes, no two snowflakes are exactly the same. And so you can't use the same treatment for any two cancer patients that have, let's say, lung cancer and expect to get the same results. And so that's where we use our very unique proprietary, it's called KRRAI, knowledge, representation, and reasoning, artificial intelligence. So many people are familiar with, you know, NLP, natural language processing, and machine learning AI, where you feed it images and dog, cat, and you know, it gets trained. So machine learning is an incredible tool. We do use it on our CureMetrics suite to detect breast cancer, again, to the tune of 99% accuracy. And if you said, Navid, here's 10 million more mammograms, do you want them? Of course, I'll take them. but there's a diminishing rate of return. At some point when you get at that level of accuracy, how much better are you going to? Where what's incredibly unique about the KRR AI we use on the CureMatch suite of products is it's based on that person's specific cancer. And it's important to know, we don't touch the physical cancer biopsy. We don't want to. We don't have a lab. We don't have any hardware. Our input is very simply the 31-page PDF that's called the Next Generation Sequencing Panel, the NGS panel of the cancer patient. And you know, many labs do that, from public ones like Guardant and Exact Sciences to private ones like Tempus or Strata, and NGS lab in, you know, in Canada or Europe or Israel or Asia. That's our input, and that's really all we need to then produce our report as a decision support for the oncologist that says, okay, if you want to recommend a 3-drug combination, there's over 4.5 million combinations. So it's truly beyond human cognition to process that. It doesn't matter how smart that oncologist is. And so what we do is we ingest that and produce our report that says, based on this person's specific molecular profile of their cancer from the sequencing that was done, here's the recommended combination of 3-drug, 2-drug, 1-drug combinations. And so that cancer really becomes like, you know, right now it's a death sentence in many ways, but you know, it's becoming more and more like HIV and diabetes, where it's not a death sentence immediately, and people can live for decades with these diseases, and in some cases be cured. And so that's our battle here against cancer, is to as the oncologists say, increase the PFS and the OS, the progression-free survival and the overall survival.
Gotcha. So then that. Interesting, as I was sitting here thinking about how your organizations are similar yet different, it's almost like CureMetrics is that diagnostic space, and then CureMatch is, should you be diagnosed, right, you would roll over into...
You know, you hit the nail on the head there, Kelly. So on that premise of, if you know, modern medicine is going to advance more in the next 10 years than the last 50 years combined, which is the consensus out there because of all these advancements in precision medicine and genomics and more data to process and higher computing capacity to process that data. And if that's going to happen, it's about DTM, detect, treat, monitor. And we got to do that better on that whole spectrum. And then this vertical integration is happening as bigger companies are rolling up and integrating, buying other companies that are touching on these three parts, detect, treat, and monitor. So CureMetrics is very much in our diagnostic suite of products, and specifically women's health with detecting breast cancer. And then we found, you know, we have an amazing investor and advisor, one of the top cardiologists in the country, if not the world, Dr. Matthew Budoff. And as he says, you know, early detection of heart disease is in women is huge, because 65% of women die on that first heart attack and they had no idea they had heart disease. So it's called a silent killer amongst women, where us men, we tend to know, have symptoms, we have chest pain, we have shortness of breath. You go to your doctor, you know, get told to, you know, exercise and eat better, and they put you on statins, which for better or for worse, there's pros and cons of that, but it does reduce the risk of a cardiac event by 50-60%. So if women don't know that, they're just walking around not knowing they're developing heart disease over, let's say, a decade plus until that first cardiac event. And unfortunately, again, 65% of the time, it's the first and last one. And so that's where, you know, with Dr. Budoff's input also, we developed this specific algorithm called CM-Angio that detects the calcification buildup in the arteries and capillaries of the breast tissue, because it builds up there faster since blood doesn't flow as fast. And so if we can detect it earlier, we get that patient, let's say when they come in for their first mammogram at the age of 40, and to then go see their cardiologist, where they might not do that for another 10 years. And so that's where we very much are on the detection side, with a focus with our AI and data scientists that are, you know, literally rocket scientists, having worked for NASA and other companies before. And so our goal with the AI Med Global umbrella is to, as we grow and mature, develop other detection products. So not just for breast cancer and heart disease, but to detect other cancers, strokes, diabetes, kidney disease with our AI expertise. Because again, if you, first and foremost, you got to detect. And then the CureMatch suite of products are very much about treating those patients that already have cancer, or not treat. We don't treat them directly. We don't practice medicine, right? We supply this tool for the oncologists in their care, you know, for patients. And for me, again, I hate it. I wish it wasn't a personal, but my wife's a 20-year cancer survivor, and she's got heart disease in the family. And so it's very much a personal thing. Every day we, you know, as a team, wake up every morning saying, you know, how can we do this faster and get these technologies distributed out to market as fast as possible at a global level? You know, cancer,
yeah,
heart disease, and you know, any disease for that matter, certainly don't know borders or boundaries, and neither do we.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's personal for me too. My mother is a 2-time breast cancer survivor. So oh, wow. I'm right there with you. I've always, in fact, when, you know, I became familiar with the CureMetrics product, that one has been a particular interest of mine to just sort of follow along and see how it works. I've been being monitored myself since 35. So
happy to sync up offline, and we can always talk more about that if you like.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to. All right. So you talked quite a bit there about the CureMetrics and kind of the diagnostic pieces, but with CureMatch then. So you spoke about that a little bit. That's where, you know, so we've got a diagnosis of cancer, and you're just bringing all of these other tools into play then to kind of help make a decision on treatment.
Yeah, it's even more simple in regards to the workflow. So there's this conception that, you know, any digital health company, they have to connect to these big systems, right? Like Cerner or Epic. We don't need to do that. The only input we need, again, is that next generation sequencing panel that's done. To the layperson, I say it's like the 23andMe of that person's specific cancer. And so they get that, you know, let's say 31-page PDF from Foundation Medicine, which Roche bought a couple of years ago for a handsome sum. But it could be any company. We're agnostic. It could be Foundation, Guardant, again, Tempus, Strata, NeoGenomics, Caris, Invitae. What they do is great. They're our input, and we take the baton and run to the next level in that those when they do that sequencing of the cancer biopsy, they do recommend some known combinations also. But the known combinations represent less than 1% of combinations available. And so that's where we come in to look at the 99% of unknown combinations with our unique proprietary knowledge representation reasoning, you know, and curated database. And so that's where that all we need is that report. And then we turn that around in 2 to 3 days, whereas sometimes the lab work takes, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. And so in that case, the patient unfortunately is in a bad place, right? They've just been told they have cancer. The oncologists right now, 75% of oncologists are doing NGS because there's now reimbursement for it. And so they'll get that biopsy sequenced and, you know, by one of these labs, and they have that information and it's used, but that's where, you know, we could, you know, take that even farther. And so we get that sent to us by the oncologist, the patient, and can turn that around, you know, within 2 to 3 days.
Absolutely. And what a powerful amount of knowledge over time that we can learn from this, right? I mean, worldwide database, I assume, different types of cancers and treatments, and then lots of, there's a follow-up element, I would assume, with patient outcomes, or?
What we produce is our report for, again, that gets in the hands of the oncologist and the patient, but it's, you know, it's Greek to the patient for all they know, but it's for the oncologist to interpret, and it's just another arrow in their quiver in the fight against cancer, so to speak. It's up to the oncologist ultimately to decide what to administer based on all the other information they have on the patient, right? That, you know, again, we just supply based on their molecular makeup of their cancer from this report, this next generation sequencing report, this is a decision support product we show that shows the efficacy of a 3-drug, 2-drug, 1-drug combo based on this person's cancer. It's important also emphasize, we're not going to be useful necessarily in every cancer patient's case. We are the most useful when the cancer is frankly the nastiest and has the most variants. So the more variants, the more complex, the more pathways, which makes it harder to treat. And, you know, an oncologist with a current, let's say, treatment might stop the pathway of the cancer developing on, you know, path 1 and 2. But if it's has many variants and it's a complex cancer, there's other pathways. So, you know, cancer, it's like if you're trying to block traffic on a highway or, you know, block, you know, water flowing down a river, if you don't block it high enough, you know, on the freeway, let's say the traffic example, the cars will find ways to get around that blockage. And there's on-ramps and off-ramps and side streets. And so they get away. Cancer is the same way. If you don't block the pathway as high as possible, it finds ways to spread. And so those cancers that are complex, we hit those pathways, you know, as early as possible if we get to the patient. Unfortunately, a lot of times with new technologies like ours, they choose to go kind of with the standard of care and say, well, we'll come back to you. You know, let's see how this treatment goes. And they come to us when it's stage 3 or 4, when, you know, they're kind of given up hope. And we've been very successful in many cases there, but, you know, we want to get to patients as early as possible. So where the industry is changing, and I don't mean changing in like 5 years, but I think really in the next, call it, you know, 18 to 24 months, is patient has cancer. Unfortunately, they get sent to their oncologist. They get a biopsy sequence, whether solid or liquid biopsy, if it's a blood cancer, and then they get their NGS report produced. That gets sent to us. We cure match them, which is pretty cool. Doctors are using the company name as a verb. Did you cure match the patient?
And then, nice.
And then they can take that information and decide on what treatment to give to the patient. And so that's kind of the workflow that is in play. It's not as built in, and it's a bit of a skate to the puck where the puck is going to be, as Wayne Gretzky saying goes. Whereas with CureMetrics, it's already established that, you know, here's the workflow for, you know, women to come get a mammogram, and, you know, then the lab tech, you know, sends it to the radiologist and so forth. And there it's much more seamless. Our software just sits on the machine that they have, whether it's a GE or Hologic or Fuji or iCAD. And we're 100% cloud-based, so the image gets sent to the cloud. Our algorithms sit there, anonymized, encrypted. We send our results back down for the radiologist to review. So, you know, all the reimbursement and CPT codes are there. So it's a bit of more of a mature market in the imaging diagnostic space for detection.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. I was just sitting here thinking about how interesting it would be to, you know, because I know oncologists are publishing outcomes and you know, we're all trying to learn, like, how can we treat these things better depending on the scenario? And so what an interesting sort of correlation it would be for someone to then take some of your matches and those outputs and then look at, you know, outcomes over time and how, because I get that it's a tool and you're not practicing medicine, but the power of that information. And again, thinking about the whole, all the global inputs that can come into this, just really feels like a great opportunity to learn a whole lot more, you know, in trying to continue to fight these cancers.
I love that you mentioned that, and we want that. And there's actually a nonprofit that is working on setting up a pilot to do that, because at the end of the day, these oncologists are incredibly busy. And
right.
for us to go bother them and say, hey, what happened to that patient from, you know, a year ago? Sometimes that they'll, you know, spend the time with us, but, you know, they don't have enough hours in the day. So there's this nonprofit right. that is putting together this pilot with, you know, several players from, you know, the NGS companies on down to us and the insurance companies, by the way, because ultimately, you know, I hate to say it, but it's a known truth that, you know, go where the money is. And, yeah. So what we're trying to do is hit two birds with one stone to say, not only is this the best therapeutic decision for this patient, but it also reduces wasteful spend and reduces costs. And so that's where it's going to be very, very beneficial and of interest to insurance companies and the self-insured companies in the U.S., which I think about almost half of the lives in the U.S. are covered by self-insured companies, where they mind the bottom line. So they want to deliver better care and reduce costs. So we can come in and say, before you spend all this money on these treatments that might be even toxic to the patient, let's cure match them and let's get them the best treatment as early as possible instead of poisoning them and also spending money on expensive treatments that won't work.
Right. Yeah. It's so hard because it's not a time you really want to experiment, but at the same time, there's still just so much to be learned out there that it kind of is a big experiment at times.
with 4.5 million combinations, it's, if we were to do 4.5 million clinical trials, that's just an impossibility, right? That's never going to happen. And it doesn't need to be done that way, where we have, you know, this data from that's again ingested and curated. And it's again, based on science, it's not throwing a dart at the wall, so to speak. where we'll say, based on the molecular makeup of this cancer and the drugs available and the compounds and how they interact, here's the, you know, combination that will increase the efficacy and that PFS and OS, progression-free survival and overall survival. So that's where the industry is advancing incredibly fast. There's a lot of fantastic companies and people out there on a daily basis. And you know, we're a cog in the wheel for that, so to speak. But we think we're an important cog. And it's, you know, I think it was Peter Diamandis that said that, you know, AI is not going to replace the doctor, but the doctor using AI will replace a doctor that is not. And so we're big supporters of that. At the end of the day, you know, as much as folks like Elon Musk like to talk about the robots and AI taking over the world, maybe they need to be in every news cycle or for, you know, whatever reason. I think we're a long way from that, especially in healthcare, where unfortunately, if a patient has cancer, they don't, you know, they need a human touch. They need a doctor to put their arm over their shoulder and say, hey, you know, we got this. It's going to be okay. We have action plan. We have next steps. We have something to do. Not, you know, it's not going to be a robot that tells them they have cancer.
Right, right. No, yeah, we have similar parallels in the life sciences industry from a regulatory perspective. You know, people say all the time, well, you know, can we use AI to replace human decision-making in manufacturing product release process, for example? And I'm still very much of the opinion that I feel like it's great information to inform, yes, but it does not replace the human decision that needs to be made. So
the human, you're spot on. The human, as they say, has to be on the loop. And so there's in the AI world, they say it's a human in the loop, on the loop, or outside the loop. Outside the loop, it's 100% automated. It doesn't need the human.
Yep.
In the loop, there is no AI. It's the human doing everything. But the human on the loop, they're overseeing it. They're, you know, the technology is a tool. It's not a replacement.
Definitely. Well, we're going to switch gears just a little bit here. Congratulations on being named a top leader of influence in life science, top 50 honoree by the San Diego Business Journal. What's been inspiring to you behind your entrepreneurship, and what would be some advice you would give to other entrepreneurs in the life science industry?
Yeah, well, one, and thank you for that. I was flattered to be included on that list with the my, you know, esteemed colleagues here in San Diego County. My advice has always been, when folks talk about entrepreneurship and in any industry, when we come back to life science, do what you love and what has that personal drive, right? I mean, the definition of an entrepreneur is someone that's delusional. You have to be delusional to do what we do, because the odds of most businesses and most startups, it's that they will fail. And so you have to have that drive that, you know, that failure is just not an option, but there has to be that pain point that is not just your own or something that is close to you, but that the TAM, right, the total addressable market, is massive enough for an opportunity then to build a business to add value to others' lives, you know, for that product or service. So, you know, that's the general advice that I give if I'm, you know, speaking to college students at a university or anything else, where it might, you know, sound sexy to say I'm going to be an entrepreneur, but that's not it's not the right answer for everyone. For some people, they truly need to go to a large esteemed company at the 9-to-5, and they like to know that, you know, this is what I have to do to be successful in my job. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. My wife is on that side, where she's not the risk taker, you know, in the entrepreneurial sense. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think do it because you feel like you can make a difference, and you have to have the risk tolerance to start something that, but for you, would not exist.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I had an interesting question from another CEO recently, where he was being asked this question as part of some leadership training he was going through. And I've decided it's got to be part of my standard battery of questions now. If you were to walk into Barnes & Noble, where would we find you in Barnes & Noble?
Wow, that is a good question. That is a really good question. I'll go to the It's for Dummies section. No, just kidding.
Well, that's generally where I end up, but yeah. Right.
Joking aside, you know, I'm a huge geek when it comes to history and also just, you know, geopolitics and our current events and whatnot as well. So, you know, I'll ingest a lot of information on, you know, the geopolitical climate and national security stuff that's going on that does tie into my interest around artificial intelligence and how it's going to change every facet of our lives. You know, I love reading, the stories of other entrepreneurs and the good ones and the bad ones. I mean, you learn more from the bad examples, frankly, than the good sometimes. So yeah, I think that, you know, the current environment we live in is that, I think it was a Chinese proverb that said, may you live in interesting times. I don't think there are any times that are not interesting, but yeah. And I mean, we wake up every day right now and, you know, it's easy to get bogged down and say, you know, doom and gloom and it's the end of the world. And oh my God, what's happening in Russia and Ukraine? And just that's just one flashpoint right now, right? And the environment and but there are so many positive things happening, and just as being a glass half full type of guy, and you can't not be glass half full to be an entrepreneur. There are so many people and so many advancements happening. And so I think, you know, that's just human nature to innovate and solve the problems that are in front of us. So I think it's exciting times we live in. It's easy to get bogged down, but I think we live in the best country in the world. You know, we have a lot of problems, but there's no place I'd rather be. And I think that's truly the American dream, is people from all parts of the world seek to come to the U.S. to, you know, to go to school, to stay here, to live here, to establish their families and businesses here and practice what they want to practice. And I think that's our secret weapon, is that the best and brightest want to come here. And, you know, talent doesn't know borders and boundaries. And that's our secret weapon, is that we attract, you know, those types of people, and then that becomes part of the genetic pool of the United States. And that's our secret weapon, not, you know, just tanks and guns and planes and whatnot.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thanks. This has been awesome conversation today. I've really enjoyed it. Where can folks go to connect with AI, Med Global, CureMetrics, CureMatch, or connect with you?
Our AI Med Global site, AIMedGlobal.com, that then drives to CureMetrics and CureMatch under that umbrella. And so very easy there. And I'm on LinkedIn as well. So happy to connect on LinkedIn as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Naveed. It's been great.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of From Lab to Launch, brought to you by Qualio. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and give the show a positive review. It really helps us out. For more information about Qualio, our guest today, or to be a guest on a future episode, please refer to the show notes. Until next time.